Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody out there, it's Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Blog Talk Radio. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Hey, everybody, it's an early show, I know, and I know I caught a lot of you by surprise by starting it this early, but there's a young man, he's worth it. He's worth all the time it takes to get him on there. He's been a component of the natural community for basically before even podcasts were even in existence, but he's still young enough to get out there and do his thing on stage. He's also a promoter. And just one of those genuine fellas, you know, I had the chance to meet him, and he looks familiar. He's just got that personality where you can just see him and realize, you know, this guy is just, he's charismatic. He's just got one of those personalities that just does that. And where I actually remembered him from was from MTV, believe it or not. And, you know, I know now MTV isn't too much about music anymore, but at the time, it was doing some innovative type ideas. One, you know, of course, was the Real World. And another one was like real life documentaries. They used to call them rockumentaries. And it was about one that got my attention, and that was about the perfect body. And what it did, instead of coming from just one idea, it came from several avenues, and we dealt with what people were basically doing to get the perfect look for what they needed at that particular time. And we dealt with a bodybuilder, one was a stripper, one was a person getting ready for football, and one was a competitor on the female side of bodybuilding. And it just followed them around, and everything was different in the sense I had never heard of natural bodybuilding. This was something that had really got my attention because I was only used to the enhanced side of the arena, and I just wanted to see what was really different about natural bodybuilding because, you know, you hear the myths and you hear what people think is natural bodybuilding, but you don't really understand what it all entails until you actually get down to the nuts and bolts of it. And there were things about natural bodybuilding that I really had never really thought about. You know, I was a gym rat. I was the person that basically would go to the gym and do the work, but it was more for, you know, making sure I could make it to work every day. When I was interacting with family members, I could do all of that. And, you know, just basically living a healthy lifestyle. And I never really considered bodybuilding. You know, it was more, actually at the time, pretty much, I was thinking my sports career was winding down. You know, basketball things were basically just, you know, the injuries were basically starting to mount up and not making it to work. And it was just a lot of fun and more like a recreational hobby. So that was, you know, bodybuilding basically was coming in as a second thought because people were telling me, you know, you look like you were somebody that could really do well on stage, but I was always deferring back to the fact that I didn't want to take any drugs to do any competition because I said, if I've played organized sports all my life and never considered it, why, you know, for the later in my years would I sit there and think about doing drugs now? And they were like, well, and there's a natural bodybuilding. And from what I had been seeing, I just wasn't seeing what everybody else basically already knew, which was there was a natural lifestyle and there was an actual stage, no pun intended, for it. And so when this documentary had come on and this gentleman was there, and just to see a physique that was something you would consider bodybuilding. And he was doing this without drugs. And So, you know, this is one of those where I was just in between, I don't know, something, either work and gym or gym and work, and had the time to sit down and watch. And it was actually done quite well. And to see, you know, there were some things that I just didn't think about. And one was basically the removal of all body hair. And, let's just leave it there. I'll let him talk about that when he gets on. But it's one of those where it's the little things you don't think about. And I remember talking to Meshach, and he was talking about, you know, we were joking about the posing and, you know, all the things that make a well-worked body look its best. And, you know, it's the things that I never thought about. And it's just one of those where it's an eye-opener, and it's basically answered a lot of questions that I would have had to ask had I been more into that arena. And it led to more questions, of course, because, you know, it's like, okay, once you get to posing, you know, what are you talking about when you say mandatory? But the posing seemed to be posing. So what do you mean by mandatory? What is that all about? And it got kind of crazy, and I was glad that that MTV even thought to do something like that. I'm watching, and I see everything that's happening, and as it's increasing, and like closer and closer getting to show days, it seemed like, you know, he looked, you could see that he was leaner, and you could see that he was ready for the show, but then it seemed more like he was bigger, but he weighed less. And so that was new to me because, you know, I was, like I said, I was under the understanding of the enhanced arena. Basically, it would get to a certain weight and either they maintain it or some bigger, I don't know. I mean, just so to see this this, you know, kind of crazy and wonky all at the same time, and I basically wasn't ready for it. I just, you know, it's something that you can watch and admire, but it was basically just as a fan, because the things that they were talking about would take so many, it would take so much more work. And I thank God that I'm from the camp of you don't know what somebody goes through until you go through it. So I didn't think I could just step on stage and do everything that he was doing. It would take some work and some time, because first, you really got to learn to build muscle that's worth showing. I guess because coming from the background of sports and being in it, you know, I know that things might look easy because someone has done it for a great amount of time, but I would never disrespect the work they did by saying, you know, I can do that right now. And I've seen it, and there were people that have come up to me and saying, you know, what you've done in 5-6 years of muscle work naturally, I'll be ready in 3 months and on your level. And, you know, I respect the drive and the motivation. Thank God somebody was there to give them that. But you really have to think about, well, then, you know, if it's that easy, why isn't everybody on that level? You know, we all have work to do, but, you know, some people say genetics, some people say, you know, whatever. But I'm saying it's the hard work that does it. And without that hard work, you really can't address it. Anthony, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've already basically introduced you to the natural community, the P4P class. And I was just basically talking about how your time on MTV basically led me to so many questions that I had to start respecting natural bodybuilding, because, like I said, up until they did that show, I didn't know a natural bodybuilding existed. You know,
it's really?
Like everybody was talking about it, but I was thinking it was basically less drugs involved. You know, because there's this fake existence that was out there where people were claiming to be natural, but then, you know, you get back to the locker room and you see the gym bag, and it's not supplements. You know, let's just be honest about
right.
it. And so I was thinking, okay, you know, natural bodybuilding, yeah, right, basically just less drugs involved. That was what I was thinking. And like I said, being a gym rat, I didn't have the knowledge, and I was speaking out of ignorance. And there was a lot of things that I had to learn. And, you know, thankfully, you know, MTV took that time to make the show where I could learn that that's not at all true.
Right. How long have you been involved in bodybuilding at all? Like, when did you start? NPC back in the day?
No. I knew about NPC, but that was all I knew, and so I didn't want anything
right.
to do with it. So, you know,
right.
if, you know, with the sports background I had seen it, and I could also see that, you know, with my mom being a nurse and my dad being a policeman, I got to see both sides, you know, where the roid raging, and then basically the side effects of that, you know, the damage that it was done internally, and it was frightening. And I said, well, in,
right.
you know, if that's what I'm helping promote, then I don't want any part of it. And so,
right.
you know, I just basically had just said that's a road in life that I'll never have to take. But like I said, after watching you on that show, it really led to a lot more questions, because I said, you know, this is something I could do in my later years once basketball, football, and all these other things are done.
Right. Without a doubt, that's what I used it for, man. I mean, sports were, you know, always a part of my life, but bodybuilding I saw as something that, I mean, I competed when I was 19, and I looked at these guys who are, like, killing it back in the day, and they're still competing now, like, doing well in the world. Miles Stovall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's still killing it in the world. Like, I mean, he didn't, you know, do, you know, place as high as he would like, or you know, it was a tough class this year, but he was up there with the guys, man. He was in the show for it. Like, I remember being 19 watching this dude, so I don't know how old he is, but he looks amazing, and natural bodybuilding, you know, could do that for you, and I'm glad that, you know, you discovered natural bodybuilding. What is your, have you competed in the natural world or ever or no?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was going to say, because you've been in the game for a while now. You knew me back in the day. I don't know too much of your background, but what was your last show?
The last show I did was the Midwest States, the OCB Midwest States.
Okay.
And I did pretty good at that. I did pretty good all last year. So, you know, I definitely, like you said, in time the muscle develops and the muscle maturity increases. And you know, when you had said muscle maturity, that sent me back to the books in the library, because it registered, but I really didn't hear what it meant. And so I said, well,
right.
then I got some research to do. I think that's what, you know, and I talked to Vicky McCann about this, and I think that's what people mistake for actually being on something, is that, you know, you're actually working to develop that muscle. And
right.
it can fly over some people's heads that are new to it, especially some of the gym rats that basically just lift for size and eat for size.
Right.
Well, you don't really see that defined muscle, but like I was saying, when I was watching that show and watching you lean out and start to look bigger, and that kind of blew me
right.
away, because I said, you know, this is something I'm really interested in, because if you weren't, it wouldn't keep getting your attention. And I, you know, I,
right.
I sat and watched that whole show just to make sure that I didn't miss anything, and I would have DVR'd it if I had the chance, if I had to get up and leave.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good stuff, man.
Go ahead.
It's what? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about a little bit of delay.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
That's it. I was gonna. You said you had some questions. I was gonna just see where you're taking the questions and.
Okay. No, what I was saying is, you know, now one thing I have to ask, and I didn't have a chance to ask you last time I saw you, is, you know, once you have those cameras walking around with you, basically covering your whole life, it's got to be a little nerve-wracking at the time. And then as you get better with it, you know, how do you learn to get comfortable with that? You know, did they, like, just come into your house and, like, get up, it's time to start filming?
You know, I'll be honest with you, man, that was actually, I set a goal for myself to make that happen. I was just fascinated with, like, you know, the real world was just, like, popular, and, like, reality television wasn't what it is today. It was way different, but it was, like, ordinary people just, like, living the Hollywood lifestyle, and I was like, damn, I don't have any formal background in acting, you know, and I never took any acting classes, but I love the whole concept of telling a story in one way or another, either behind the camera or in front of the camera. So I was a big dreamer, man, back in 2001, and I just said, you know, fuck it. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to become this celebrity, and I'm going to make my reality, even if it's just for a day, I'm going to have a good time with it, and I'm going to go out like I was this rock star celebrity. So I put together a little kind of, you know, scene in my head, and I painted a picture of me walking down Main Street, Broadway, 1515 Broadway, and pulling up in front of MTV and having the cameras look down and give me my 15 minutes of fame. That's what I was envisioning in my head. And then I worked backwards from there, and I created this kind of movie scene. I hired a photographer, I hired a videographer, I brought my brother along, I brought my boy along, he was filming, and I went to New York City, I had a girl I was dating at the time, and I created this kind of movie with an 8mm camera of me walking around, you know, Manhattan, talking to people, doing like a photo opportunity with everybody. And I created like a little bit of a buzz in Rockefeller Center. And it was like this, it was like a movie, and it was actually happening. So then when the opportunity came up, when Pat Loke, my boy over at MTV, called me up or emailed me and says, you know, we're doing this show, True Life, I want to be a bodybuilder. And I said, I need to be on this show. So when they started filming, it was like this was already something that I had envisioned in my head. So the cameras, I was loving. And I think I did get caught in that a little bit, and it affected my training, you know, because it's definitely, I mean, you're putting yourself out there, right?
Yes.
Total vulnerability, right, in front of, like, the world. So the pressure I had built up as a bodybuilder internally, now it just, like, magnified. Because now I had this pressure of who I was going to become on national television. Was I going to become, you know, a guy who takes third place, or was I going to become a pro bodybuilder, you know, and reach my goal, the pinnacle of my career, or the start of my career on national television? So I had all these things going through my head, and then I had the cameras around me. And then I had another set of cameras around me because I did like a little exercise workout video, so they wanted to be a part of that whole thing too. So I had like, yeah, it was definitely a spectacle. And follow me around, I enjoyed the process because, again, I was telling a story. So it was definitely weird. I mean, you just adapt to it, you know. But, it's still kind of strange. But I hope I answered your question with that one. I don't know if I did or not.
Oh, yeah. I'm liking that because without that, you know, how many people do you show the light? I mean, because, you know, the thing I think a lot of people get confused with bodybuilding is that basically you work out, you eat right, everything's perfect, you step on stage and either you win or you don't. But they forget the life in between. And there's a lot of hang-ups that happen, you know, personal issues, family issues, work-related issues, I mean, relationship issues. There's so many things that happen all the time, and it's like, well, yeah, there's that too. And I think you answered a lot of those questions. So, like, with the family being involved, you know, the gym, it's so much. And that that was the one thing that I was appreciating, because I was like, man, this isn't, you know, what it's like. It's what I had an idea about, but not what I thought, because you know, I hadn't thought about the family involvement, and I hadn't thought about the, you know, the engaging with people when you're basically on a goal and they're wanting to deal with, oh, a camera's running, let me get over here and say hi. And it's like, well, right now is my gym time, you know, and then
right.
you got to start basically sorting out life so crazy, and it's still on film, and that's like, it's got to be insane, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's who I was and whatever, you know. That's mm-hmm. if it wasn't for my people supporting me, or you know being in line with what I want to do, then it wouldn't be as easy. And some people don't have that you know, I'll say blessing, because it's when you have a support team that's by you and helping you out, that's a major part of it. And again, bodybuilding's got like this narcissistic kind of negative, you know, feeling when you think of bodybuilding, because you think you're so self-centered, you have to do this. And you do, and you have to be, but I've matured, I think, not to pat myself on the back, but I've become more accepting of the fact that it's my gym time, yes, but I could be helping somebody. And again, I take my time when nobody's around. It's like 4:30 in the morning, and that's my time. And then from there on out, if I come across people, I mean, it's a part of, you know, who you are. I used to be a real prick, though, and I used to, like, you know, I was young, and I was like, this is, like, I thought, like, I was gonna be at the time like Flex Wheeler, like that was it. Like I was gonna make natural body. Mm-hmm. I was gonna be the natural Flex Wheeler, and make a career out of it. And then I used to be just, you know, too self absorbed. But you have to be balanced, you know, and be humble. And that's something I've learned in the process.
Yeah, and that's basically what I was hitting on. We find balance in, and it's, I'm thankful that we do. You know, with family, gym, because it is unhealthy to be too much on one side or too much on the other.
Right.
But with the cameras being there, it's almost like it was almost, I don't want to say overexposure, but it's like you couldn't hide anything. And so you had to basically do it on the run. So, you know, I was thankful when I first started working out that I didn't have to deal with social media the way, you know,
right.
now it's.
Right.
Basically, you were social media before it was social media.
Right. Wow. Good call on that. Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's true. And that was like vulnerability city right there. And it fucked me up for a while, too, because I got like, I got some negative feedback, of course. And I'm only human, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of, your ego gets dented, and then you're kind of like, you know, just down and out about the whole process. And you're beating yourself up, and you want to lash out and be a prick, but then you don't want to continue with that, right? Because in the beginning, when you kind of have, you know, your haters, you get all upset about them, and you get fired up. But after a while, it's like, all right, man, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to put my positive message out into the universe. And if you got beef with that, then that's on you, because I'm just doing me, and I'm not trying to be a prick. I'm not confrontational. I just want to put my message out, you know? So,
yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And, I mean, you got a barrage of it, because – like you said, some people are really narcissistic about this, and they do feel threatened by somebody that's getting attention that they feel they should have. So
right.
you know, it's a catch-22 when you say, look at me, because you basically get people that shouldn't be looking.
Right, right. I know, exactly. You're absolutely
right.
It's too
much for them, yeah.
And well, social media now is bananas, bro. Everybody's out there, bro, everywhere, you know, just wearing nothing. And I'm still kind of conservative with my social media. I mean, I do put pictures up and updates, but, I mean, a picture of me standing in the posing trunks, I don't remember the last time I put myself up there like that. And it's not because of any other reason besides, like, bodybuilding has become a smaller slice of my pie life right now, you know? So it's important to me, and I dedicate myself to it, but there's so much more going on that I'm focusing on. And that's just, you know, I'm not going to say I don't take it that seriously, because I still train hard and I still get after it. And I'm still going to bring my best package this year, but I don't get wrapped up in it so much, with the placings, and because I see the sport, you know, I see like, you know, judging and just different. Or I don't get caught up with it, man. I really don't. And if I get a world title, awesome. If I don't, I'm not going to beat myself up for it, because it's a the sport is fucking fucked up, and it's just a wacky sport, you know. I see, it's crazy. It's really crazy, bro. Like, just the judging criteria and subjectiveness, and like any one of those dudes last year in the Worlds could have won, man. Like, how do you give a first place? But Brian definitely stuck out, you know. So he was like clearly the winner. But some of these other classes, I mean, every one of them could be winners. So you can pick, then you have to. It's just wacky sport, you know. So I just try to, you know, bring my best and use it as a tool to market myself as a fitness expert and a body transformation expert and a nutrition expert, you know, kind of like this, you know, guy to go to when you want to transform your body, you know. And that's what I want to be kind of focusing on. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And, you know, as for the people that don't know and aren't familiar, because we got a lot of, like, when we first started, we were dealing with basically natural bodybuilders, but now we have their family members and friends. So when he's talking about Brian, he's talking about Brian Whitaker. Get a chance to check him out. The guy was on top. I mean, he really came with a nice physique. And, you know, last year was, like you said, it could have been anybody, because I think, and I got to touch on the diet doc on this one, I think the more the bro science has been weaned out of the natural community, the better the physiques have become, because they don't have to deal with the garbage and the wrecked metabolism.
Right, right. Totally agree. Absolutely. You have guys like,
and,
sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I was going to say, with your background in it, it's great that, you know, you did one side, and because you actually stepped into the realm of competition, you know the little divots that basically can upend a whole regime and a setup and prep.
Yeah, you were cutting out real bad with that one, bro. I'm sorry.
Okay, what I was saying was that because of your background in bodybuilding, that you can help people more with their prep, because you actually understand the ins and outs and the psychology of it to actually get ready.
Right, absolutely. And it's one of the things I focus on with my clients or my athletes that I train, so to speak. I try to instill in them, like, use bodybuilding and use competition as, you know, a display of your hard work, and you are crafting the most, you know, prized trophy, and you're presenting it that day, and glam it up and have a good time and prepare for it and prepare hard for it and stay disciplined and get to your ultimate physique. But don't get focused on winning or being the best up there, because it's really not about that, especially in the sport. And I gotta keep saying that, but at the end of the day, it's a title, it's a trophy, and that's, if you get caught up in that, not getting first place, you know, or not getting your overall, not getting your pro card, it's gonna create just this negative kind of, I don't know, because honestly, when you enter a competition, your chances of winning are like 1%. Like, you know, some of these bigger shows, it's like your chances of winning are less than your chances of winning. I'm not trying to use it as like a, you know, a game of roulette, so to speak, but I'm just trying to spin it into, go into it with that mentality. Like, you're good, but there's 10,000 other dudes or girls who are just as good, if not better. So focus on your journey. Get better. Use it as a life tool. And because everything I've learned from bodybuilding, I spilled into every business that I create. So it's my discipline, my structure, and my integrity. And those are like the staple, you know, core values. And that bodybuilding has taught me that, taught me discipline. I had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning cooking my meals, going to the gym, getting my cardio, and going back to work, going home, eating my meals, going back to the gym, cooking my meals, and repeat. Like, it was so disciplined, and that's what bodybuilding, I think, creates, and that creates that structure. And the integrity was just holding myself accountable, you know, and not, you know, not giving in to temptation and being legit and, you know, keeping myself off the banned substance list and doing good by the organization, and just that's my integrity. So those things that you can take away from the sport will manifest your life into the best life possible. But if you get caught up with that negative, you know, let's go binge and let's go say fuck it because I didn't win, I've been down that road before too, and it's a dark place, man, and it's not worth it.
Yeah. And I'm glad you spoke on that, because, you know, that's about as real talk as you get. And, you know, much respect for that, because you figure it's a lot of work, but if winning is the only goal, then you're basically setting yourself up to be a loser. And, like you said, it's not – I'm not picking on anybody, but if you're saying this is an all-or-nothing type game, then you're really setting yourself up for disaster.
Right, right. And it's difficult because you are good.
Well, what I want, because we basically jumped into the show and I didn't give you the chance to introduce yourself. So when you talk about business, I don't want people having question marks. Let's get everything about you out there. You know, what got you interested in this? What got you set up to have this life? And why it's such a good part of your life? Because like you said, bodybuilding into everything, but it is a good discipline, a goal.
I'll just start it off by saying I really enjoy helping people feel as awesome as I feel. And that means physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And it's a process. Life is a process. But being able to use my experiences and my knowledge and help somebody achieve, like, wow, I fucking lost 95 pounds, or holy shit, I never thought I was going to be able to do that, but I did it. Like, those kind of things are what make me, you know, do what I do and stay up all night, do shit like I did last night. I'm still running on like maybe 30 minutes of sleep, if that. But that's besides the point, because I love what I do. I love what I do, man. This is like something that, like, I don't care, and I'm going to keep on doing it, because that's what life's all about, finding that one thing and just kind of making it your life. And that's what true happiness is, and I think everything else falls into place after that. But did I answer your question? Probably not, right?
You answered it, but you got more to go.
All right. I'm sorry, man. Do we have a time limit on this thing? Because I'll ramble. I got a couple hours.
You go ahead and ramble. Right. I love it.
All right. Do we have this recorded? Like, we'd be able to push it out and everything, and I'll be able to hear it, because I can't hear you, and I want to relive this interview, bro.
Okay. I sent you the link, so all you got to do is click on that, and you'll be there forever.
Awesome. I gotta be careful what I say. Business. So that's what I love. That's why I love what I do. And what I do is, I have a few things going on, but my second home is a place in Somerville, New Jersey called Body, BODHI, and it's like a community over there. And we created a nice little culture. And I got an awesome team of coaches and nutritionists and yoga teachers and Pilates teachers, and we kick ass, and we have a good time helping people create their best life. And that's basically what we do. Nutrition, you know, any kind of service that somebody would need as far as, you know, any kind of support with nutrition and fitness. We have small group training. We have personal one-on-one training. And it's growing. It's becoming something. And that's, you know, it's a major part of my life right now. But in a very good way. And that's our brick and mortar, and I'm looking to bring that same community up into the interwebs and make like a membership-based site where I could be more virtual to more people. So those are some projects I'm working on, some businesses that I'm working on.
Yeah,
and I was up all night doing this ebook, and everybody has an ebook, and I'm like, dude, I like to write. I'm gonna put my shit out there. So I've had a website for years now. Eat This, Lose Fat. So I'm putting out an ebook. It's going to be a free ebook, and it's just going to be me just explaining how to eat well and live your best life. And I'm calling it, this is great for Real Talk Radio, I'm calling it the No Bullshit Guide to Losing Fat and Permanent Weight Loss. And that's literally what I'm calling it.
I love it.
I try to keep it as simple as possible for some folks, but they overcomplicate shit, and there's so much shit out there, and I want to put myself out there. I'm in line with a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there who I'm in very much in line with my message.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see some shit out there, and if I could help somebody not, you know, do some of the things that I've learned or done before with sweet experiences, I'm gonna try to help them out. So, sorry for the ramble.
Hey, no, that's quite all right. Now, you talked about support, and there's somebody in your life that's just a genuine jewel, and that's your better half. And could you speak on her?
Yes. Okay. Where do I start? So my lovely lady, Karen Minetti, I quickly changed her last name. Actually, she wanted to change her last name, which is pretty dope because she is a dime. She is a keeper. Is it dime? Should I say dime? Is that like?
Yes,
like,
you can.
How do I word that? Because she is like.
No, the perfect dime.
Yeah.
The perfect dime.
Yeah.
We got.
Yeah, she is everything that I need and want. And as far as relationship goes, we fell in love, and we're working at Lowe's Home Improvement. And she was not involved in the sport. She kind of was excited by it, jumped on board with me, and we trained. And she is, a numerous WMBF title holder, Miss Universe 2011, Miss World 2011, bikini two-time champ. Like, she's a rock star. So we opened up a business together, and it's difficult to open up a business with your wife. But it's very empowering, and it creates a nice foundation for her and I. But it's, we run a business
and a lot
together,
of balance.
And we are, what's up?
I said, and a lot of balance. I mean, because, basically, like you said, with the discipline you brought in there, It might have been stressful, but I was like, well, you stress a muscle to get it to grow, then you got to stress a relationship sometimes to get it to grow.
Right.
So it does transition to life.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it just happened. It wasn't really like, hey, let's start a business together. It kind of morphed into that. I mean, we were living in New York City. I was personal training. Karen was working for the same company, Equinox, in New York, and she was killing it in sales. And just wasn't, her road to the next level wasn't going as planned, so she left and she started assisting my clients with nutrition, creating meal plans, and it became coaching services, and they were loving it, they were digging it, they were seeing results, and then it morphed into, if you know what to cook, but you're still not cooking it, let me do it for you. So we started a meal prep service back in, 2010. So Karen was cooking their meals, and I was delivering it to them at 4:30 in the morning in a little, branded little meal case, and we started a business. And it was actually, it was done illegally out of our kitchen in North Bergen. But we did it for like 3 or 4 months, and we're like, we need a spot to go. We got to do this, at the next level. And then we came back to Jersey and brought our business home. So it's been a journey, man, but she, if it wasn't for her, the business would not be anything because, she was right there with me. So it's cool. It's definitely an experience. Did I answer your question?
Indeed. And no, that's perfect because I met you guys in Indiana, and I was just overjoyed about it because I said, this is something that you like to see, where it's not the going back and forth in a negative way. You guys are basically practicing what you preach, where it's like it's not fake, and
right.
A lot of times. I've seen, being around the sports the way I've been, it's like you see people where they all smiles as long as the cameras are running, but the minute the lights dim, so does the positivity. And it sucks because it's like, well, I want to see something real. And, if you disagree,
right.
Then you disagree, but you don't have to kill each other because of the disagreement.
Right.
And that's what I was appreciating because, it was, just like I do backstage, it's hectic. And you got people running back and forth, and you can get maybe one word out before you get pulled to go somewhere else, and so-and-so is missing, and the expediter needs help looking. And it's like, well, I really wanted to touch this up, or I really needed to prep that or get that last meal in. There's all kinds of stuff going back and forth, and you guys handled that so well. And, then I got to see you guys again when she was winning, and I was like, this is what it's all about because I was just learning the natural community and the family atmosphere is what I love most. And I speak about
it.
Hello? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cut out for a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So, it's definitely – I've met – my closest friends, in the past 10 years in the bodybuilding community. And guys I talk to, text message daily, weekly basis. And it's definitely a nice community. And as far as Karen and I being backstage, I mean, we promote a show also. coming up this April.
Mm-hmm.
Check out Anthony's Gym, a little shameless plug, anthonysgym.com, grab your application. So we've been doing that for 5 years now, and that's...
I said, you got it. There ain't no shameless plug. That's why you're here.
all right. So, yeah, so, I mean, again, as far as organizing, as far as, like, she is amazing. Like, she has the back end of the show just running so smooth, and just, I've usually been the MC the past couple of years. She has my stuff all lined up for me. Like, she runs a tight ship. And that's, mm-hmm. yeah, she makes that possible. I'm like bouncing around like a little kid with ADD. I'm like banging around. I'm trying to like take selfies. I'm trying to like, you know, I'm all over the place. And she's like trying to, you know, rein me in and keep me focused. But that's part of my job too, is, you know, to be the entertainment, right?
Mm-hmm. You're very charismatic, no doubt.
Competing with each other backstage is a whole different ballgame. We've competed together before, and that's. It's different. It's different. Because you want to give her what she needs, and then you want to give you what you need, too, at the same time. You know? So it's awkward. It's awkward, especially when you're still competitive. But, yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm glad you can talk about it because, you know, people need to know these things because a lot of us go into competition blind. You know, as good as it is to hear that great positive story, there's a lot of negative that happens because people said, I'm doing this show on this day, and they're really not ready, and the coach really don't know how to tell them. And, you know, it's so many things that derails a successful show. And I'm talking about as an individual, not as a promoter or a competition or anything like that. But the individual that says, you know, come hell or high water, this is the show I'm doing because of this reason. And it blows up in their face because, you know, really they weren't ready.
Right. Absolutely. I'm actually, we've been talking to the judges about our show coming up, and I asked them to give me their top pet peeve of all their judging. And these guys have been judging, you know, 10, 15 years. So I'm asking them certain questions, and I'm gonna just put it out there for these younger folks, or even for the amateur folks who are still climbing the ranks. Just about what the judges are looking for, like not everything, because we can do a clinic and you'll find more about what the judges are looking for, but just some top things that, you know, you should be avoiding or you should be doing, like simple stuff. Like, you may not be in the best condition, but don't be, you know, 30 pounds overweight, you know, or you know, if you are going to be 30 pounds overweight, then that's cool too, but, you know, I mean, don't come back every week 30 pounds heavier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I hate to say that because it's like everybody should have their chance, and everybody is like, you don't know their journey. You think about it. Like, I don't know their journey. He may have lost 150 pounds. He wanted to get up on stage. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. But I'm also at the same time, trying to judge a guy for his pro card that he's been training 15 years for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, and the sport gets watered down like that a little bit. So it's, and now there's shows everywhere, every weekend. I'm curious to see how the OCB and the WMBF kind of mesh together and see what that's all about. Because as a promoter, I'm curious to see how they're going to do scheduling and what that's all about. So that should be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a crazy last 3 months, that's for sure.
it's crazy. And again, that's the sport now, you know. And it holds true that WMBF is still like holding it down, like they're now, the WMBF is, you know, since J-Lo was out of it and Nancy and Bob and Tina Smith took over, I will say that there were some changes, and nobody likes changes, but I think for the most part, we've been growing. I say we because I'm a part of it, and I support them and what they're doing. So it's cool to see, like, because they were the other competitor, the IFPA, in the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
As far as drug testing and all that stuff goes, they were the closest to ours, and there may be some differences, but for the most part, they were the closest. They were like the biggest competitor, I shouldn't say competitor, but when you're looking at, like, you know, shows, and it's a competitor. You know, people don't have the ability to do one big show; they have the ability to do 15 small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Now, I would like you to say the name of your show, where it is, the day again, so people can understand and how to get in touch with it. With you, I'm sorry.
So it's that's okay. So anthonysgym.com should be the first place you go, and it's for the WMBF Northeast America. And it's the show started, I want to say, 25 years ago by Eddie the Rock Hernandez, started it back in the day. And it's been ongoing for like middle of April, toward the end of April, for the past 25 years. So it's been a long running show. When Karen and I took it over, there was a shift in venues because they were doing it up north. Now we started doing it in Somerville, New Jersey. So we wanted to bring it close to us and generate some local kind of buzz too. So we brought it to Somerville, and it's been climbing ever since. But we're like last year we had 60, so this year we're looking to be 75 plus, man. I mean, I'm cool with that, because you got like six or seven dudes in a class. You got like a nice competition. It doesn't have to be 15 people in a class. It's manageable. And then the next level, 100 plus, I would have to get a different venue, because you can't do it in high school. And I feel like there's something about, promoting shows that is a little bit of like, all right, so in high school, I've always wanted to like invest money into like a nice show. Like the world was in Atlantic City, so it was nicer, but I'm, I don't know. I just think that there should be more. I don't know. Maybe I'm just mistaken, but.
No. You're perfect, because you're basically like when I set up the link, I really looked at your background, and all I could put was man of action, because you don't just say these things. You actually have a plan, laid out where this is going to happen. I just don't know how yet.
Right.
And I love that about you, man.
I appreciate that, man, because that's so true. It's so true. I just keep believing and I keep dreaming. And I know that, I'm finally synced up, I feel like, recently. And things are like, I'm starting to get shit together. Like I have a business now that doesn't rely on me. Like I have a business there. And I have a team of trainers that coach and I manage them, but they clean after the classes, and we have a nice system over there. Nutritionists, they do their thing, and it's a nice, business. And from that, I can move on to doing other things with a little bit more attention, because you're right, I started too many different things at once. And after the MTV thing, I wanted to do everything, because I don't feel like I capitalized on it enough back then. Like, if I would have had that kind of, platform nowadays, I would have a team around me doing marketing and social media, and I would be, like, selling shirts, and I'd be like, not that you would just be doing more, selling books, and you'd have more operational funds. But back in the day, I had a website that was like, I think I said, if you like the show, email MTV. Like, I was just going to bombard them with emails and, maybe get something, to the next level at a show or something. But that's all I had on my website. So, I got bummed out by it. So then I started doing everything. I had all these wonderful ideas, and I just started like too many different things at once. But when you focus in on one, start with one thing and build from it, you figure it out. So,
well, it's worked for you. I mean, honestly, it might not have been at the pace that you were thinking, but it's a pace that's going forward. That's what I appreciate, is that you never gave up.
Yeah, I've gotten beat down, though. But that's why I think you get numb, You get numb to it, and you're like, all right, what the fuck, whatever. Because, I got some tough love as a kid, but when you're putting yourself out there to, the masses, like MTV, you're getting more exposure, so your vulnerability kind of gate just goes down, and then you have to be tough to handle that. In the beginning, I wasn't. It jacked me up for a little bit, but you just get numb to shit, man.
Yeah.
Just keep pushing.
But like I said, it's like you don't realize the negativity and the hatred until you've come face to face with it. But,
right.
I mean, you were the pioneer. If you think about it.
Wow.
And it's like putting yourself out there as a natural. There's going to be plenty of people that see that and say that's not natural. And like I was saying on a previous show, it might not be normal, but it's very natural what you're doing.
Right. Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. And people don't get that, because they automatically want to just say that they automatically want to discredit themselves for being able to accomplish that. So they just discredit by saying that's not natural, because I guess they don't want to train for it or they don't want to believe in it. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some physiques that are a little bit scratch your head, right? But
yeah,
for the most part, I don't think my physique was ever like, because I mean, the most I weighed on stage was like 184, and I shouldn't have been 184, you know? So, I mean, I was never been a big guy, but my conditioning was always there, so that's what carried me. But I never looked like, I don't feel.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, because I know what's out there. I know, like, the Martin Daniels, who I stand next to him. I look like a dwarf. You know what I mean? Like, I know these guys are out there in the world, like Siobhan Cunningham. You know, I stand next to these guys, and I know that yeah, I don't know. Shit, if you think I'm on, then what do you think?
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it, because that, like, when Martin has always been like chiseled rock. But when he got with Dr. Joe, it's like, dang. You know, I didn't think you could do that. And then he got this black spread that just went sick.
Right.
Honestly, it just went sick. It's like it was defined before. Then it went sick. He got with Dr. Joe.
Yeah. I love Martin, man. Martin's a good dude. I hung out with him in Indiana, chatted with him a little bit. He's a solid dude. I wish he would come in just like 5 to 7 pounds sharper, maybe 10, and just bring like a Brian Whitaker kind of conditioning. And nobody would touch him, I feel like, because his waist and his joints and just his physique is just like, it's so powerful. But
phenomenal.
Again, it's amazing. It's amazing. But again, even him and Godzecki next to each other in 2012, I was looking at them both. It's like, all right, well, Godzecki had him here, but then Martin had him here. Neither one of them had like the polished, you know, Brian Whitaker, you know, physique,
mm-hmm.
head to toe, just kind of everything just rock solid. But
exactly.
It's crazy.
It is. And, you know, like I said, even them, he was, when Martin was on stage, he was under 200 pounds. And people were saying, oh, no, that can't be natural. I'm thinking, well, that's the only way it can be.
At
that full of muscle belt and that weight, you got to be honest. It's like, okay, either you're kidding yourself, like you said, about blocking the way, or you're just so ignorant to what a mature muscle looks like that, you know, I can see you saying that statement and I won't come back with a response.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It's
What's crazy about Anthony Minetti is that he's still going strong after all these years, because people actually expected, you know, usually it's like, okay, they get their fame and then they fade out because they said, this is the only thing I see in life. But I think you had maybe 5 or 6 different highways you were planning on traveling all at once, and you still have maybe 7 more.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry, you cut out that last part.
I'm probably getting
just
too close to the microphone. What I was saying is that you've done so much, and people expected you to flame out, but you have an interweb like following. You've got a social media following. There's so many things that you're still opening up to doing, and that you're actually still trying. I don't think you're ever going to flame out.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. I look at it like this. I can't be the guy who is known for having his dad shave his ass on national television. And that's really when it comes. Because, you know, like, the people are like, I know you from somewhere, man, but I can't really place it. I'm like MTV. They're like, no, your dad shaved your ass. I'm like, all right, man, yeah, you're right. And it's cool, and don't get me wrong, I worked my ass off to get there, and I totally appreciate it. And the fact that they remember that episode for whatever reason, it's cool, you know? But I look at it like, no, man, there's more out there. There's more out there for me. And I still love television. I still, you know, I have some things, you know, that are always in the works, you know, with that. And my business is the other part of me, you know, trying to make a family with my lovely lady, and, you know, build a life for us. And I try to mesh it all up in a little pot. But Did I go off topic right there with that one, or what?
No. That was perfect. That was perfect, because there's so much that I know you have planned on doing that it's just crazy that, you know, with the mind that you brought into it, I don't see how anyone would try to limit you when everything you're doing is basically showing no limits.
At this point, it's like, all right, I see people like Elliot Holt. I went out to his camp in Florida last year. I don't know if you know Elliot Holt, the YouTube guy. He's like, he's killing it. Really super humble dude, down to earth, loved his, you know, Get Stronger camp. It was awesome. He's killing it, and he's not on television. You know, I don't know what he has going on, but he created his own channel. He created the Strength Camp, you know, YouTube channel, and just made, lucrative business out of it. Created his own shit. You know, so that's why I'm looking at all these ideas I have. I have, you know, I don't need a platform like MTV anymore to bring myself out there. But I do need capital. I do need capital. I do need education on how to figure it out. I do need to, you know, get in there and get some, you know, elbow grease and, you know, sweat equity into it and build it myself. But for the most part, I can do it myself. So, you know, it's, and then I look at it now, I'm having all these things in place. And when something, when I get a bigger platform, then it just, it, you know, it helps. But it is what it is, man. I just keep pushing, brother.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, just like natural bodybuilding, it takes time. Honestly, it just takes time, because if it kept happening boom, boom, boom like that, you'd have to say, well, something's wrong. There's something not right. There's an injury coming somewhere for that muscle or bone.
Right.
And just like it starts
happening
real quick, if you don't understand what you did, then you can't really hold on or maintain it.
Right. Les Brown says, Murphy's Law comes pays you a visit. You know, like, shit's going to happen, man. You got to prepare for it. Like, shit's going to happen. I mean, it took me 12 years to get my pro card, man. And I say that, you know, I'm proud of it. I fucking brag about it all the time, because I'm like, I don't care if it was taking me 15, 20 years, I was getting my fucking pro card. But I laugh at these amateurs now who are, you know, as a judge, they come up to me and they'll ask me, you know, and I see it in their face and they're discouraged and they're pissed off and they're frustrated and they, you know, their boys in the background going, you, this dude won, I can't believe he had no abs. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like calming down and explain to them, like, dude, it took me 12 years to get my pro card. You realize that how many shows are now compared to then? Like, there was two times in a year where I can get my pro card. It was the Hercules or the Natural Mania. And that was it. And then if I wanted to compete in the world, I had to compete in one of those two. But those were it. So I trained all year for those two shows. Now there's a pro qualifying event pretty much every weekend of the year. So for these new guys, it's like, I don't think it's as difficult to get to that pro rank. Granted, once you're at that pro rank, it's a whole different ballgame. So you're losing that experience. So, you know what I mean? So when I got to that level, I feel like I was able to jump right in the mix. You know, my first year or second year as a pro, I won the U.S. Cup. And I did well in the universe. And I jumped right into the mix. Now these younger guys, I feel, or younger girls jumping up, I feel like it's discouraging, because, you know, I don't know.
No.
If that makes any kind of sense.
You're getting the nail on the head, because the fella in our area that won his pro card, he said, oh, I'm ready. And I was thinking, you know, you got about 2 years to go before you start on stage with pros. And he's like, no, I mean, come on, man, I want the overall. And I'm thinking, yeah, but like you said, with the way shows are happening, I think that it's not an intentional disrespect to the competitors that are at the pro level, but in a way it is disrespectful to think you can step on there and just win. I mean, you got to put in some work. And we've had people that can step on stage and place in the top 10 because they did put in that kind of work. But that's not, you know, each and every day you see that.
That true example is Brian Whitaker. I've been watching him, and he was, you know, I think, competing or at the show in the MTV thing. Like, I've known him for a while. I've known him pretty much my whole, you know, bodybuilding career. Solid dude, and I watch him every year in the world. Win his class, dominate his class, never win the overall. This past year, it was like, I was there, and I was like, it was an amazing experience, because he still remained humble, kept his head down, just kept coming back, and it was just such a good feeling, you know, for me, I can only imagine what he went through to finally get that overall title. And then, you know, matched up at the Orton's Cup overall title. It's like, but he worked his ass off. Like he chipped away at it. He had like 6 or 7, you know, lightweight world titles, but never that overall. So it's, yeah, man, even at that level, you still got to work. You still got to work. You know, people get spoiled and they feel like entitled, and then they get cranky if they don't win, and it becomes like, you know, then it becomes shitty. And then people start shit talking, and it's just, it's a mess, man. Focus on your journey, you know, focus on how you're progressing and leave it there. Excuse me.
That's all right. What you're saying makes so much sense. It is a journey, and it is a lifestyle. And the biggest thing that I always have to remind people, it's a choice. You know, we make that choice to step in front of people that basically tell us how they think we look. And we go into this mindset of what we think we look like. And it's like, okay, hopefully we match up at the end of the day. But if not, it's still the best you that you look like.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds corny to say that, right? Because it's not like hardcore. Yeah. You're gonna win every show. But it's really that's what it comes down to. If you want to make it a healthy lifestyle, you know, if you want to make it healthy.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that's a coach right there. That's a coach statement right there. I love that.
Because yeah. the girls and even the guys, they look great entering the world of competition, but they're, you know, first time, second year, third year, they're new to the industry, and some of them done really well. You know, this one in particular girl, Courtney, she, you know, beautiful girl, bikini, she just dominated the stage. She gets into the world and she doesn't even play, and she, you know, a beautiful girl. So she comes, you know, you have to, like, how do you explain to somebody that you're beautiful, and they were how do you explain that? That's where the sport gets just like wacky, because it's just weird. And if you get caught up with that, it's really a mind fuck, man. It'll really twist you up. You really have to stay, you know, obsess yourself with having it be your journey, and then you do your best to avoid all the negative stuff. But it's crazy.
Well, it's out there. It's out there. And that, like you said, if you're not prepared for the negativity, then you're really not prepared for the stage, because these people exist whether you step on stage or not. It's just now they got a new bone to pick, and that's basically the way I see it. You know, I've seen so much crap come from such positive people, and it's hard to imagine, you know, that you say, well, I'm pushing and I'm working, and, you know, we do have the backstory. We do have the behind-the-scenes narrative, and a lot of people don't have that, and they go into it assuming that, you know, because my life sucks, then your life's got to suck too, and they basically try to suck the life out. See, this is why I don't do it, because, you know, look, they had one little bit of thing come, and then, look, they fall apart. And, you know, if you don't have that mindset or that good support group, you will fall apart. I've seen it happen.
Right. Absolutely. All the time. It's crazy.
Now, when you're preparing people in their prep and trying to get them to understand, and you can see that it's just not translating, you know, because people are starting to prep now, so I really want to answer this question, especially for somebody that will give a straight answer. When you're preparing somebody for this kind of atmosphere, because, you know, regardless what they get in the venue, it's the social media vipers and snakes and vampires that are waiting to suck the life out of you. And most of the time, they're coming from these people's background, their history, you know, like the school, schoolmates, stuff like that. How do you prepare them for that? Because that's something that you never think about when you're going into prep.
Oh, wow. it's all with, you know, having them really focus on this being a personal sport, you know, definitely some self-developing, you know, skills and you know, character building attributes from it. But it's also the world in general. Like, there's bullshit everywhere. There's bullshit everywhere. Like, I don't watch the news. I don't watch TV. I record shit and then I watch it on DVR with Karen. I mean, I don't care for the, you know, it's either rape, horror, terror, medication. It's just all like news at 11, you know, smashing glass. And that's really what they say. Like, they just make it like so theatrical, and that's what the world is in general. My point is that that shit is everywhere. Besides, like, the media, you know, throwing that shit out there, you have social media, which is just little critters and, you know, doing whatever they had to do and just kind of, like, you know, terrorize people's lives. But that shit's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was training. I trained a bunch of rock star baseball and, you know, young athletes, I'll say, baseball and soccer and wrestling, and over in the studio. And we were talking the other day, and this guy, the little kid Donnie, he said something like, I don't know, that's she, or he made a comment about something. I can't remember what he said. And I was like, dude, life's not always fucking, you know, peaches, man. You got to learn to, like, just kind of, you know, I don't want to say suck up, but, like, you just got to, you know, understand that life isn't perfect, you know. And I say it in a joking manner. I can't remember my exact words. But my point of just busting his balls is like, dude, not everything is perfect, man. You gotta kind of grind through. So that mentality in general going into a competition, it's just really, and that's why I don't take on that many, you know, clients when it comes to competition prep. And if I can help with posing, or if I can, you know, put on a good show, I appreciate that. And some local people will definitely help, and I still want to, you know, help them and whoever else that, you know, makes sense for me to coach. I don't take on a lot of people because I want to make sure that I could really have, you know, a coaching role,
yeah,
and not just tell them what to eat and tell them what to train, and they're kind of on their own. They get sucked up into the competition world. There's so many more things to learn about it. So I keep my team tight and just kind of instill that. I'm not about trophy chasing, you know. I'm not about, like, titles, and I never really, you know, I don't know. It's something that's, you have to just get better at, is dealing with that bullshit out there.
I couldn't have said it better. Actually, I couldn't have said it exactly how you said it, but.
Oh, I'm rambling, man.
No. It's not rambling. It's real talk, and people need to hear that the side stories, because they can relate to that. You know, because right now, you know, I noticed when we first started doing this show, it was, you know, basically everyone had questions they were afraid to ask because they didn't want to seem stupid for asking. And, you know, I used to think about my family members that were teachers, and they would always say there's no such thing as a stupid question. But, you know, people, like I said, because they have their peers and they're going to make fun of them for asking, even though they would be the same one asking if they had the chance, they say, well, you know, what you going to ask it for? Man, it was so stupid. But it's not stupid.
Right.
And so this show actually became like one of those where, you know, they could actually send messages without having to ask in open public. So anytime I get a chance to ask one of the questions that they've been throwing out there, I do it. And I knew I could ask you that one, and it would be a legitimate answer, not just that sugar-coated crap that a lot of people like to go out there, oh, you know, do your best, and Juju Freaks and Applebee's. I'd say, what? What kind of answer is that? So I was like, well, I know I can ask AM this one. I know I can ask you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just, again, with some other folks, some parents of the kids, and we're bullshitting. And some, I forget how the conversation went, but I said, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I was like, I want to ask questions. I want to get smarter. And this one guy, he was like, I don't mind being the smartest person in the room. I'm like, you know, whatever. He was busting balls, but. I'm like, I want to ask questions, man. That's how I learn. That's how I adapt, and that's how I, you know, spend all night designing websites and shit. Not that I know anything about websites, but I figure shit out. Successful people figure shit out. You know what I mean? That's just how you do it. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Exactly. Well, man, thanks a lot. I really appreciate this show, and I won't end this show until you give a shout-out to the people that support you. And you've done an excellent job, man. And I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about in life, because you've handled the pressure. And I think that's what defines a man, is when you can take the pressure, get the BS, get all the negativity, and break the brakes off of it and start a foundation. And you've done that. And, you know, I'm proud to have met you in person. You're a wonderful person. You know, you and your wife are just so genuine. I just love being around you, your atmosphere, what you create as far as your charismatic nature. It's just beautiful. And, you know, you've been real since I've known you, so God bless you for that. But, you know, anybody that you want to give a shout-out to for supporting you, having your back from day one, go ahead and this is the time.
Man, that's real talk right there. I love it. Thank you so much, man. That was great. I appreciate that. Two quick things. Yes, I'll get to the shout-outs in a second. But what are you doing April 30th for the show? Would you be – here's what
April,
I was thinking. What's up?
Go ahead.
Oh, because I was – we're trying to get better at the promotion thing and just build the show every year. And this year I was like, I want to do something different. I want to do something where I can bring my podcast or something there and do like a live kind of like Storm Prejudge and just talk about the show. Maybe if it's an hour, maybe it's whatever. I was thinking about doing that. Why don't you bring Real Talk or something? Let's set something up possibly, get you out here, whoever we need to do it. And maybe if you're available, we can kind of just, you know, either do a collab. We'll just get the camera rolling. We'll, you know, just whatever. If you're down with it, if you're open, if you're down with it. But yeah. That being said, shout out to everybody who's still paying attention and reading my shit and following my shit. I appreciate it. I don't want to say shit, but sometimes I feel like I just my social media is all over the place, man. Because I just it's like you gotta have a system for everything, and sometimes I just throw random shit out there. But that's where my brain works. So thank you for keeping up. Speak to you soon. I really thank you. You know, I thank people who are still listening and who are following, and people who just are thinking or saying the things that you just said to me. I really appreciate and value because. I feel like people don't see that. All I see is either they're intimidated or they think I'm a dick or whatever. So it's kind of like a weird kind of energy. But the fact that you saw through all that and kind of, you know, my journey, I appreciate that. So shout out to you and Real Talk and all my folks out there listening. Stay well.
All right. And one last question. And this, I don't know who the heck is listening to this early, but they are, and they have. When is your next show, and will you be bringing a better package than the last time they saw you? I'm not familiar with this person or their name.
I 100% will do my best to bring a better package. I'm on pace right now to bring a better package, and we're looking to do the Universe, which is in September of this year up in New York, and then I'm gonna jump into the world and throw myself into the mix again. But my training's on point, and it's getting on point. I mean, I just had a pretty crazy surgery over in the male area, and I'm just recovering my first week back of training. So I'll do my best, man. I'll be shredded. I'll be lean. I'll be at my best. So and if I'm not at my best, you may not see me on stage. But when you see me on stage in September, I'm going to be bringing my best package.
Yes, yes, you did. Yes, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. You definitely answered the question.
Awesome.
And thank you. Oh, wait, hold on. Thank him. Thank you for your fast response.
Thank you for my what response?
For your fast response. I think
yeah,
they thought you were
awesome.
Going to answer that off air.
good stuff, man. All right, so you're going to send me a link to this. I want to hear myself probably sound like a crazy man talking.
No, it's all good. I'll send you the link again.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much for having me on. Have a blessed day.
Hey, you too, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, talk to you later, man.
Bye.
And then later in the show, and that's about as real as you get when it comes to Real Talk. And I respect the man. He does his business. He does his homework. And then he does better business. So you got to love that. So stay tuned for the Thursday show. Dez has some good ideas in mind. And I'll be joining her. And hopefully you'll tune in that time. But tonight we have another person that's just from the East Coast. This must be the East Coast day. And that's Sherina Farguson, and she's just a joy to speak to, and she's done some amazing things, and she's quite the competitor, but her nighttime shows are just phenomenal. She comes up with routines that just blow your mind. So until then, well, later today and tonight, this is Kaylin Patterson, P4P Real Talk. We are out.